Hello and welcome back to the Jessica Pennelly podcast. I'm Jess, your host and your favorite female empowerment coach. This is a safe space to speak about all things on mindset, relationships, business, sex, money, and life experiences. Get comfortable, get ready, and let's go. Good morning, Jada. Welcome. Well, good morning from Australia. Welcome onto the Jessica Pennelly podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. And good afternoon for me being in the States. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to connect and have some conversation about all things wellness and mindset and all the things that you do, and would love to just get into it.
I'm very excited for this conversation, and I actually want to start this a little bit differently, and I feel this will kind of go into who I am and what you do, but there's a post that I actually have up of yours from your Instagram, and I love it. I saw it was like the most outstanding post I saw, and I'm like, I'm going to bring that up as soon as we start talking. So the post is, there is a connection between trauma, stress, and disease, and it's due to our disconnection with ourselves. I would love for you to kind of go into who you are, what you do, but like, let's flesh out that post because I love it and it's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little background on me. So I started my journey into wellness, I guess, when I was in college and I decided to become a physician assistant. So I went to school, became a physician assistant and worked in family practice for a number of years before I stepped out to become a full-time mom. And then when I was in family practice, I saw a lot of people who actually were struggling with mental health issues, but they were coming to their primary care. They were saying, you know, my throat hurts or my head hurts, or I have tummy issues. And then once we would get into it, there were all these mental health issues going, you know, coming along for the ride. And a lot of it was never combined. It was, oh, well, this is depression. You need to send this person to go see a psychologist, or, oh, you know, we would think this is anxiety, so go somewhere else. And there was never this integration. And I thought, wow, you know, I feel like we're doing such a disservice. But again, I was young and I just kept my head down and did what I was supposed to do, which was separate them and treat the person who came in for, you know, the physical symptom and treat it as such and not really talk about anything else. So fast forward 15, 20 years, I've now been a stay-at-home mom, homeschooled my kids, and decided to step back into career mode. But this time I thought, you know what, I'm going to circle through and get my master's as a therapist because I think that there's more to mental and physical health and wellness as a connector rather than separate. So I got my master's as a therapist and started working exclusively in psychiatry. So I retook the boards for my PA and I have spent the last decade working specifically in psychiatry. But because I'm a therapist and I have the medical training as a PA, I actually started moving into more holistic psychiatry. So now in my private practice, I do holistic psychiatry. But at the same time, when COVID happened, I saw the whole world just fall apart. And there was this massive need for people to get resources and tools. And we were so isolated. And that's where Soul Via Soul came along. And so I created this online wellness company. And I kind of bring all my tools as a holistic psychiatrist in my years as a family practice provider. And I roll it into holistic wellness, understanding that there are certain organic things in the body that will manifest not only as physical symptoms, but also mental and vice versa. We can have depression and anxiety that will manifest in physical ways in our body. And as I really kind of dug more into the therapy piece, there's also a lot of a lot of people, when they first started working with me, we were kind of surface level, like, oh, I want to change this about my body, or I want this wellness piece. But as we got to go into deeper and deeper things, I realized a lot of people didn't eat well or move their body or work on their physical health and wellness because of unresolved trauma, because they didn't feel worthy of loving themselves with good food or movement, or understand the connection, how their the unhealed parts of them were really preventing them from loving themselves and connecting to themselves in a deep way. And wellness to me is, it springs from this deep connection, this well of worth within our core. And if we don't feel worthy to our core, we're never going to get to the fruits of wellness. And so I kind of do now, where as a therapist, when I put my therapist hat on, we talk about trauma and the ways that we can reprogram the subconscious, the ways that we can go back and remove those limiting beliefs, if necessary, if we have to do that work. And then we have the conversation of how do we connect mind, body? And often, you know, mental health issues will show up physically first. So it's really bringing more awareness that our body's always talking to us. And what's the original source of that pain? And in order to know that, we have to have a deep connection with our bodies. And that's really what's missing, is that we're really so busy with all the stuff that we don't have that deep connection with self. And that's really the cornerstone of connecting back to yourself. And the whole name of soul via soul is really connecting back to our bodies, and understanding that deep connection is going to help us understand what wellness is.
One of the first times I remember learning about the mind-body connection, I read a Louise Hay's book. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. And it is now something I refer to all of the time. I've told my own clients, you know, I share with my partner, my friends, and it's even to the point, you know, I may hear some, I see someone on their stories, or even if it's to do with like a celebrity or something, and they're, you know, they've got a physical ailment, and I look it up and I'm like, oh, it means this, this is a connection. And I think it's such a powerful conversation because, and I'd love to understand your perspective on this. Do you think that in the society that we are now in, I think people are becoming more receptive and more open to it, but I think people don't want to acknowledge the fact that everything that manifests physically is coming from your emotional body. I think it gets too hard for people to go, oh, well, if I work on those emotions, then my knee's not going to hurt, or I'm not going to feel my neck cramp up all of the time. What's your perspective on that?
I love Louise Hayes, and I think that she's so spot on so many things. And two things that kind of popped up as you were talking about that, right before I knew it was time to leave my first marriage, which was toxic and unhealthy, I started having foot pain. And you're like, oh, wait, let me go to Louise Hayes and look that up. but that foot pain was my literally fear of stepping forward in my life. It was the fear of me stepping into my future. And I manifested, I don't say manifested, but it manifested within me, you know, my fear of leaving and literally walking away from my marriage. And it absolutely caused physical symptoms. And the core of it was my fear. I was terrified of leaving, even though it was unhealthy, it was familiar and it was safe. And at the time I didn't even have a job and I had four children. I knew I had to walk away and I was terrified, and it showed up in my body. So yeah, 100%. I am with you on that. And the other thing is that I think in part because there's sometimes what happens when we talk about this mind-body connection, And that people, I think, resist going into it is because they feel they're responsible. And sometimes that feels burdensome to say, wait, like I'm doing this to myself. And that feels really heavy. And for a lot of people, like that can feel very shaming. And so that's a real tricky part, is to take ownership of it, but not feel that you caused it. Like some people say, like you really think I want to be in this pain? Like, why would I do that? And so there comes this resistance because it really cuts close to having to look inside and go in really deep. And when we go in really deep, it sometimes hurts. And so it's natural for us to resist discomfort. It's just the brain is hardwired to keep us safe. And if we go into those dark crevices and we start peeling back the layers and there's some stuff we don't like and it's hurtful or it's hard, we pull back. It's just natural to recoil when we literally have to lean into the hard in order to heal.
What would you say are the first steps to taking that self-responsibility? Because I completely agree. I think this, and even for the listeners, if they're hearing this, they're like, okay, I've had this physical symptom or this is showing up, but what do you mean that I created this? Why would I want this? Why would I want my body to not be healthy? I've definitely heard that before, and probably in the past, maybe I've been in a little bit of that mentality. But what would you say is kind of like the first stepping stone, or how to get to that place where it's like, I'm taking self-responsibility, but I'm not judging myself. I'm not shaming myself.
Yeah, and that's difficult because I think, and when we start any healing journey, we have to give ourselves an enormous amount of self-compassion because it is layered. And in order for someone to say, okay, you know what? Maybe there is some responsibility here. Like, how do I get from point A to point B? I think the biggest question is to really kind of ask yourself, what do you want your life to look like? So let's not look at from where you are. Let's look at what you want. Like, what kind of life do you want to create? And, part of what I say in my podcast and like when I work with people one-on-one is, we want to create a life we love and one that loves us back. And that sometimes means we've got to be willing to look at the shadow parts of ourselves, the parts of us that are hard to look at. But the biggest question is, are you currently living your best life? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? Because ultimately, we have power. And I think when we're in victim mentality or we're in this state of lack of, we can't make any strides. We can't elicit any change if we're not willing to take the hard look at ourselves and go, what part am I playing in what is in my life currently?
How would people self-identify to the fact that they are disconnected from themselves? Because even I say this sometimes with my clients that I work with on mindset, is sometimes I think we're intuitive beings and we know something's a bit off, something doesn't feel right or good in my life, but they're not quite sure what it is or what that looks like or what are those thought patterns or what are those behaviors. So what are the things that maybe you've seen in your own clients over the years of how do we self-identify that, oh wait, I'm not stepping into my power, I'm disconnected from myself, and I'm actually not living my best life.
That is such a great question. I think it shows up differently for different people because there's going to be different levels of self-actualization and self-awareness. So, for some person, it might be that they're constantly distracted. Like if they have difficulty, looking someone in the eye or holding a conversation, they're constantly multitasking, like they don't know how to just be present. And so, that's a lot of our culture, which is just go, go. You just go from task to task to task, and you don't slow down enough to just check in with your body. And so that disconnect is often with our body. And, you know, not being able to sit still is another sign that you're disconnected. Like if you're popping up like a piece of popcorn every 5 minutes, or you go to sit down to relax and then you're on your phone, mm-hmm. or you're looking for some other means of distraction, then you're disconnected. So if we're always looking for distractions, then that means to me we're disconnected. And I was just in the middle of writing something about, I used to ask I grew up in the South and I grew up without technology. I didn't have social media. I spent my summers watching turtles sun on a log, catching frogs, walking in a creek, watching a spider spin its web. And I grew up very connected to the earth. I would go for walks in the woods with my dad. And sometimes we would sit on the porch and he would say, well, why don't we sit down and watch the grass grow? And I never thought about that until literally today. I was thinking about how, as a kid, we used to be bored. I don't know about you, but in the summer, you know, school would get out and we didn't have cell phones. There was no way to call or connect with my friends. We had the phone connected to the wall and you didn't have this. And so the summer days would trickle along and I would find myself lying on the ground, staring up at the clouds and just being bored. But in that boredom came creativity and ideas and big dreams. And that is what's missing, is that ability to just stop and to be okay with that stopping. But because I think we're in this hustle, go, go culture, we don't recognize that we are kind of addicted to the adrenaline rush of cortisol, stress hormones, adrenaline. We're kind of like adrenaline junkies and we just go. And so when we pause and we just are still, especially if you've had a chaotic childhood or unresolved trauma, sitting still is very challenging. And we don't know how to just be. So not being able to sit still is another really good indicator that, you know, you're disconnected from self. So, like those are the two big ones, like just not being able to be present when you're having conversation with someone, if you're easily distracted, if you're thinking about a million things, racing thoughts can sometimes be a symptom of just being disconnected from yourself. So, those are just kind of three, like just off the top of my head that make me think that someone might struggle to have that deep connection with self. And I guess if I had to throw another one in there, it would be the lack of body awareness. Like you just don't have a sense of the energy and the space that you take up. Like you just don't have any sense of your own personal space. And people are, I call them like energy vampires, but you know, you walk into a room and you just don't own your own essence. You just don't allow yourself to take up the space that you actually have and deserve.
So many good points there. I really love the point on boredom because it's so true. And I went back into my memory of when I was a kid, no phones, riding around on bikes, going to parks. You know, for us, it was like when the street light turns on, make sure you come home, that type of vibe. And yep. So I was like completely resonating with that. I'm like, that's so true. And even in myself, I'm like, when was the last time I was actually bored and not stimulated or not thinking of the next thing in my business or my personal life? And I felt this was a reminder to me and probably the listeners is maybe find some more boredom, find those parts of stillness, find the moments to slow down and not be stimulated. I absolutely love that. And I guess like, where do you start with that? Because you're right. I feel in this day and age, we're adrenaline junkies. We are addicted to the stress. We're addicted to our phone, social media being stimulated, whatever, always having to be around someone or something and not being still. And even like you said, when someone goes to relax, but instead they're grabbing their phone and they're like, okay, this is my time to relax. I'm definitely guilty of that. Let me scroll on TikTok for 30 minutes to relax when in fact it's stimulating me more. So where do we start? Because it's uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable to be still, to be bored, to actually be like, oh, I'm actually not feeling good. Okay, I'm going to now scroll on my phone, or I'm going to call a friend, or I'm just going to put on Netflix because I want to ignore this feeling. Where do we start with trying to be still?
Such a great question again. And I think that it has to be an intentional decision, because I'll have women who will come work with me and they're like, okay, I want this and I want this. And I'm like, okay, so how much time are you willing to devote to loving yourself? Well, and then, you know, I'm like, no. Like this has to be an intentional choice. Because, you know, the phrase, I'm going to mess it up, but if you don't decide, like someone decides for you, like if you don't take ownership of how your day rolls out, it will roll out and just steamroll you and hit you in the face. So for me, it has to be intentional. So I start every day in stillness, because I know that if I don't do that, I don't first connect with me, I'm off. I'm off. And the second thing I do is move my body every day. So I do, it's kind of the yin and yang. I create the stillness and then I do the big movement. And when my kids were little, I loved this analogy with in-breath and out-breath. And because the breath is our connector to our physical bodies, it's the spirit, I guess, in the body, mind, spirit part, is that we naturally as humans need breathing in moments and breathing out moments, just like the seasons, just like the day. We need that change of the quiet and then the big and then the quiet. And it's just like a breathing. The in-breath is different than the out-breath. The in-breath, we bring in the stillness, and then the out-breath, we let go of the stress. So for me, the stillness in the morning, and that can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever you have, the more the better. And creating that moment to just sit. And for some people, I've even had them do like 1 minute, and they're like, oh my gosh, like that was hard. And I'm like, great, but you did it. Yeah. Yay. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to do 1.5 minutes. They're like, okay. So part of it is just don't eat the elephant in one bite. Like take a small bite, set a goal, be intentional. And I like the in and the out breath. So do the quiet to connect with your body, and then go do the exhale, do the out breath, which is to release those emotions. Both will connect you to yourself, the stillness and the movement. And so I combine them, because I have found for me that creates a sense of calm and connection with me. So, you know, some people get squirrely about sitting still. So one of the ways I kind of like hijack that is say, okay, fine. Go walk in the woods, go into nature, because nature is going to have an energetic resonance. It's going to have a peace and a calm that will just seep into you. And you can do a walking meditation. You can just go be with the trees. So it's just really you have to be intentional about making yourself a priority, number one. And then finding the way that you feel that connection. And sometimes we have to use a bridge, like a timer or a guided meditation or nature or something that allows the stillness. And you know, you think about what we did as kids sometimes, like coloring and drawing and playing with clay and all of those things that we do with our hands also create stillness in our mind. So, you know, there's other bridges that you can use to help create that stillness that helps you connect to yourself.
I love the clay point. About a year and a half ago, I got a clay set, and this is a reminder to myself to start that again because I would do it every Sunday. I'm no good. I just make things and I'm like, this would look good. But it was the most cathartic thing for me. Every Sunday, I would turn my phone off. I would light some incense and I would just not be in any distractions. And I would just make for a couple of hours and it felt so good. And as I continued to do that over the weekends, it got easier to be in that moment. But definitely at the start, it would be like I'd get into it and then I'd kind of automatically like go to grab my phone or go to like think about something else. I'm like, just be here, just be in the present moment. And I think, yeah, going back, this is very inner child healing, isn't it? Going back to these things we used to do as children, like getting lost in the moment, getting lost in finding the joy in the small things. And I think this is such a great reminder for people to be still. And I really like what you said is finding that stillness as soon as you wake up. I'm exactly the same. I wake up, I do a meditation the moment that I start to get into consciousness. I don't go on my phone I try to stretch it to 1 to 2 hours in the morning. Sometimes I can't, but I try to do that. And it's definitely in comparison to, you know, I've had moments where I've woken up and scrolled straight on my phone. And then I wonder why I feel so shit for the rest of the day. I wonder why I feel so disconnected from myself, or I'm a little bit aggro to my partner, or I can't get present when I sit down to work. And what would you say to everyone that's like, okay, but I'm so busy. I hear this a lot. Maybe you've heard this with your clients too. Like, I'm so busy. I don't have time to sit in stillness, or I set my alarm, you know, 10 minutes before I have to get ready for work, or I get home from work and then I just kind of sit, I eat dinner and I hear this a lot. I need to numb out because I've had a big day at work or in the business. What do you say to those people that are in that frame of mind and are probably struggling to take a bit of self-responsibility for their lifestyle choices?
So the thing that immediately comes to my mind is when I had delivered my fourth child and I had 4 kids in 6 years. So let that sink in for a hot second. That's a lot of little babies. And I was struggling. I was struggling and I had zero time for myself. I was a stay-at-home mom. And I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I wasn't sleeping. I mean, there were so many reasons why I was struggling, right? And I talked to my provider and I said, I'm really struggling. And she said, Jada, are you running? Because she knew I was a runner. And I said, did you hear what I said? I just delivered my fourth baby. When do you think I have time to run? And she was like, okay. I hear that, but something has to give, right? You're here because something in your life is not working. So what are you going to do about it? And I said, you know what? And I was really kind of upset that I didn't feel like she was hearing me. I was like, do you hear me? I don't have time. And so she said to me, okay. Cause I was nursing at the time. And she said, well, what time does your baby get up to nurse? I'm like, well, usually around 4:35. And she said, okay, is your husband at home, you know, at that time? Does he have to go anywhere anytime soon? I'm like, no. And she said, okay, so when you nurse the baby, could you walk out the door and go for a run? And I was like, yes. And so all of a sudden I had my window. Now, I didn't really know about meditation at that time, and I didn't practice meditation at that time, but running for me was meditative. And it was a moving meditation for me. It was the only time my mind stopped and I wasn't hearing mom, mom, or wah, you know, it was constant noise. And it was the only time that it was still. Everyone was asleep. The sun wasn't up. I would nurse and then I would put my baby back down. I would tap my then husband on the shoulder and say, "You got it. I'm going out the door." And those started to become the times in my life that I started to regain my strength, my power, my connection to myself. In those 30 and 45 minutes between 4:30 and 5:30 a.m. on the streets alone, running in the darkness, is where I found myself. And that's when I started to change. That's when I started to come. I would come back from that run and I would feel so grounded, so refreshed, so fed, you know, on a soul level, that I was ready to pick up the reins and just tackle the day. And so it's hard for me sometimes to hear someone say, "Well, I don't have time," because I think back to the time I had delivered my fourth baby and I was nursing, and I created that pocket of time to go nourish me. And it was so transformative that became something that I've never given up. And I do, my feet hit the ground. I have my quiet time and I get out and I run, I walk, I bike, I do something outside every morning. Except in Chicago when it's snowing blizzards and I can't, and then I get on my treadmill. But it changed my life. Investing just a little bit of time in me changed my life. And it not only changed my life, it changed the life of my children, because I was a better mom. Mm. I showed up with more love to give. I wasn't hostile or irritable or cranky or upset that they had needs that I needed to fulfill as their mother. I wasn't as snippy with my then husband. I was a better me when I took care of me first. Mm. And so, you know, the numbing out is common, because when we are quiet, emotions come up. And there were many times I would cry and run at the same time. And I couldn't tell you why I was crying. I just knew that my body had to release it. And I would be running along and then suddenly I'm in a full soppy, wet cry. And I'm like, "What am I doing?" But it was cathartic and it needed to come out of me. And, you know, movement is a wonderful way to calm the mind, but it's also a wonderful way to release trapped trauma and pain and stress in our bodies. And that's what was happening. I was healing myself by giving myself that time and that movement and that alone time. It's simply that powerful. So again, we go back to the question of, you can choose to numb out and be distracted by 100,000 things, but that's never going to lead you to the life you want to create. It's always going to be a distraction, and everything you want is going to be beyond arm's reach, because you got to break through the feeling of those uncomfortable things when you choose to just be with yourself. And that's okay. That's where healing starts.
Do you think I had an interesting conversation with one of my clients the other week about being ready to change. Do you think that people may use this excuse of, "I'm just not there yet, I'm just not ready"? Or is it more we need to take, it comes back to the responsibility piece of like, my life isn't where I want it to be. My relationships aren't, maybe my money, my business, my career, my health isn't where I want it to be. So what am I doing to change? Or is there really a moment where we kind of get to and it's like, okay, I know this is going to be uncomfortable, but I think now's the time, I'm ready.
I kind of feel like we have to get ready because there have been times in my life where I was, again, I was in a toxic relationship and I knew it for several years. Once I had the awareness that it was unhealthy, I was aware. And this is where, especially you women who are in abusive relationships, and people look from the outside and go, "Why didn't you just go?" Well, that's an easy thing to say to someone who isn't, you know, like they say, you, unless you walk in someone's moccasins, you don't know what their life is like. And it took me many years to finally get to the point of going, I'm done. And it took me learning and developing and cultivating my own strength. It took a brokenness that I realized was irreparable. And it sort of forced me onto the, you know, the cliff side of saying, well, ready or not, like I have to jump because I have reached this point in my life that staying where I'm at, regardless of where you are in your life, whatever you look around and go, I don't like where I'm at, whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you. If you're ready for that change, you have to be willing to let go of the familiar and you got to just jump. And so it's both. It's having this understanding that I'm going to have to do some things that I'm going to feel maybe terrified to do and scary. And I am afraid. And that's one of the reasons there's resistance. And I think we have to get to that point of realizing that nothing is going to change unless you make a change. And so I do think we have to get to that point of being readying ourselves, and that can take a while. But at some point, then you just have to leap and you have to say, I know what this road looks like, and I choose this one.
Do you think not being ready or getting yourself to that point is because we have lived up to the point where we want to be ready with so little self-trust?
Yes. And to speak to that specifically, that self-trust is especially if we've been hurt, especially if we've been in relationships that are toxic and unhealthy, we lose trust in our ability to make a good decision. And so sometimes that's not being able to trust. But that's where, ironically, when you are able to develop your own intuition, when you are able to really listen to the sound of your body and your gut, you're going to reestablish those wires so that you can trust yourself again. And that's ironic because we don't feel ready because we're disconnected. But as soon as we turn the circuits back on, as soon as we make reconnection with our heart center and with our intuition and with our gut and with our soul, we make better decisions. And then we are more apt to be able to trust ourselves because we've developed and cultivated and learned what it is to hold ourselves with care. And when we learn to hold ourselves with care, then we are able to trust that we're making good decisions for our life.
Someone's listening to this, and I know sometimes what can happen is we can listen to powerful conversations like this, or we can watch a very thought-provoking TikTok or see a post and get a dopamine hit. And it almost feels like this dopamine hit is like, all right, I'm feeling something inside of me. This is good. I'm going to change. And then you finish the podcast or reading the thing, and then you go about your life. So for the people listening and they're like that, they're like, wow, yep, okay, I'm ready. Something's got to change. Something's got to give in my life. I'm sick of doing the same shit every single year. What are some very tangible, actionable things? I know you've given a few, but like after this podcast episode to go, all right, go take the action on that. This is where you can take the first step, the first leap.
What I would say is get out a pen and paper. or our pencil that has an eraser if that feels more safer. And that is to literally just write down your dreams. Put it on paper. There's something very powerful about not only asking the question, but then writing it down. And get real, real with yourself. Like, what is it that you desire? What do you want your life to look like? And we've all heard the phrases, you know, you're the author of your life, you can design the, you know, and those are awesome. But when you feel stuck, it feels a little jabby. It feels a little condescending and a little like someone doesn't understand where you are. And no one understands where you are except you. So don't just think about it. Get a notebook, get a journal, get, you know, a piece of paper. Just start with a and write down what are your dreams? What are you afraid of? What would your life look like if you could design it right now on paper? What would that look like? Just start the conversation with yourself of what is it that I want out of life? And just allow yourself to write it down. And then from there, think about one maybe tiny little thing you could change that day or that week or that month that would move you toward what you just wrote down. What's going to move you toward that goal?
I love that because it's something that I think seems so small. And it's like, yeah, that's an obvious thing. And I said this to my clients, the obvious things are normally the hardest things to take action on and actually start to, you know, action that. And one saying that I've always said, actually, I started it on my podcast was, you know, take messy, inspired action every single day. And sometimes that looks so small. And then other days you have this burst of energy and it's like you've taken all these leaps and bounds. But I think what I've seen, and maybe you would agree, is sometimes when we change our life, I feel we get into the mindset that we have to take leaps and bounds every day. And that's it. And I'm like, no, if it's this small, if it's so a centimeter small, that's
Right.
better than not taking anything.
It absolutely is. And it's not, I think that's where we self-sabotage is we think that, oh, we got to hit it out of the park every day. And that's what growth looks like. Growth is not linear. And, you know, even as a medical professional and a therapist, there are days where I struggle and I have to pull myself in and be like, okay, like what's happening? Like, what do I need? And sometimes we do take two steps back and then a step forward. And that's okay too. This is where self-compassion comes in and just understanding that it's a journey, it's not a destination. And it's going to look different for different people, and different people take different routes to get to different destinations. And I think when we start comparing ourselves with others, or we start thinking, okay, I got to eat this way and drink this way and do these things, and we get so overwhelmed. And we try to do too many changes at one time that we end up thinking I'm a failure. It's so much better to do one tiny thing and feel successful with that and celebrate that and just be okay with that. And then the next day, if you take another tiny little step, woohoo! Like we often don't celebrate the little things, you know, just getting up and you know, drinking a big glass of water first thing in the morning to get your digestion going. That's a huge, tiny micro shift that can have an enormous impact on your physical health and your gut health. And guess what? When you change your gut health, you change your mental health. Like it all matters. Tiny steps, baby steps, micro steps, it all matters.
Yeah, I love that. It definitely all matters, all of the steps. And I just want to highlight what you said about don't try change a million things at once, because I think that can be super overwhelming and it can be something that is kind of, it could set us up for failure because there's too much and the brain is
Yeah.
like, I can't do this. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And that's where we self-sabotage is we get so excited. And that's kind of like why New Year's resolutions tend to fail is because we're like, okay, that's it. That is it. This year, this is my year. I'm going to do A, B, C, D. And we just give ourselves this laundry list of things we're going to like change. And then 2 weeks in, we're like, yeah, no, because it's too much. And, you know, pick one thing, pick one tiny little shift, which is why I, we're talking off screen about, I just started a Patreon today. And the reason I did that is because it's always been my desire to give people bite-size, actionable steps that they could employ right there in the moment, like just today or just this week. Just do this one thing. And then guess what? Next week, we're going to do another tiny little thing. And it's keeping it bite-size that allows you to eat the whole elephant. It's taking a tiny little bite and celebrating and recognizing, I just did this one change, and it's moved me toward the direction of the life I want to create.
Yeah, the celebration piece, that's definitely something, one of my promises to myself this year is to celebrate myself more and celebrate not just the big things that are happening, but all of the small wins. And I think it can be a bit challenging because sometimes it's like, okay, what's the next goalpost? Where am I moving towards? What am I doing next? Yeah, that was cool. But so I definitely resonated with that. For me this year, I'm like, everything, celebrate, like sink in it, allow yourself to anchor in that small or big win.
Absolutely. And when we feel it, like when we really feel and celebrate the one little thing, like, oh my gosh, I just drank a glass of water. I am so awesome. Like even just a tiny thing like that, we don't realize that that message to the universe is like that, that will create a momentum that starts coming toward us. And then suddenly we're like, I wash the dishes. I so rock, you know, or I drank three glasses of tea today. And I keep thinking about what we're drinking, but, you know, whatever it is, I walked for 10 minutes today and that felt really awesome. Yay. Like, let's celebrate it all instead of I can do better. I can do more. Where's the next thing? Like that's where staying present and really just grounding in that moment and just sinking into it allows us to feel that we can celebrate all the little things. So I love to hear that. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to join you in that more celebrating.
Yeah, more celebrating. And I like that instead of the, I can do more. I think that, it kind of has a negative connotation towards it, but I'm like, no, let's celebrate every small thing. And even what you said, you know, even if I did a walk for 10 minutes, celebrate that, still did it, you know? Yeah. And I think it's like, sometimes when I get into the flow of work and then I go and do, if I can't go do a workout, I'll go do like a 20 minute treadmill walk. And I've had the habit of thinking, oh, I should have done more, but it's like, I did this. I got out of my office and I went and did the 20 minute walk and this is amazing. So more celebrating this year. I definitely love that.
I think that's fantastic. And it changes our frequency. Like when we are staying in those high energetic states, love, joy, gratitude, we vibrate at a higher level. Like we vibrate at a higher frequency. Those are very high frequency emotions. And when we are really staying in that space of yay me, then we really are elevating our entire energetic selves. And when we are up there, like attracts like. So you're going to actually just cultivate more wonderful things to flow into your life on a subconscious level, because you're vibrating at these lovely, high energetic flow states.
I love that. Yep. More celebration. I've loved this entire conversation. I think there were so many juicy moments. When I get to the end of a podcast episode, I have a couple of questions that I choose one from. And I was just thinking, what is the one that I want to ask you? I think this one, if you could distill your life's philosophy or a piece of advice into a single sentence, what would it be?
I'm going to steal a quote from one of my favorite authors that I was introduced to in college. And it is a quote by Blaise Pascal. And it is, the heart has a reason of which the mind knows nothing. And I think that as we really get more sophisticated with technology and this invasion of everything at our fingertips, we are losing what it is to connect to our heart and to our heart space and to live life through a soulful, connected way. It's ironic that we're more connected in some ways, but it's creating a disconnection in others. And so I think that we need to lean a little bit more into our knowing part of us, the knowing part, our intuition, our heart space, and try to calm all of the mental clutter that can, I think, sometimes take us off track. And, you know, we know a lot in this day and age. We can ask Chat GPT anything, and it can just spit out everything we want to know. Like we know things, but what we don't know, I think, is the depth of our soul. And that's not anything that anyone can do for us. And it's not a piece of information that can be sought after. It's a journey inward. And when we decide that we're worth living from that space, I think we can create a life we love and one that loves us back.
I love that so much. That quote's beautiful. I'm going to go find that on Pinterest and save that, probably print it out. I love that. That's an incredible quote. Thank you so much for your time. This was a beautiful conversation. Absolutely. Where can people find you? How can they work with you? What have you got going on? You did mention quickly about your Patreon, but share all about it.
Yeah. So obviously I have a website, so it's soulviasoul.com, and it's S-O-U-L via S-O-L-E. And it's basically that we find the essence of our soul. We live a soulful, purposeful life through understanding and connecting to our body and using our body as an instrument. So soulviasoul.com. Much to my kids' dismay, I have a TikTok. They're like, "Mom, do not do that. Do not." Which, of course, I did. So you can find me on TikTok and then on Instagram at Soulvia Soul. And I also have a podcast, and it's also the same, Soulvia Soul. It's all the same. It's all Soulvia Soul. So you can find me there. You can also just Google my name and I'll pop up. So, and then the Patreon, that's brand new. I literally started that today. And the whole idea around that was to have a community off social, very intentional about that. So that, you know, for a lot of people who were saying disconnect, you know, they're like, "Great, I'm going to get off all social media." And that's great if that's what, you know, you choose to do to help align with yourself. So I intentionally created Patreon because it's you don't have to be on a social platform to use it. You can dip in and choose a low level membership to just get nuggets, or you can, you know, work more closely with a higher level membership. And when I'm talking low level, I'm talking $5 and like under 40. And so the idea is to keep it affordable. It's always been my passion to share the knowledge that I've gained over the years of working in holistic psychiatry and mind body medicine, that, you know, these are tools that people can just use and take and move the dial in their life. So the Patreon is, again, it's brand new. I really am just figuring that out. But the idea to create a space, a community where we can have discussions and have, you know, deep dives into things that people want to talk about and things that matter most. So you can find me on all those places. And I have a newsletter too. So a weekly newsletter. And that's, I would also encourage people to do, because that's where you're going to get a little piece of information every week from me. And, you know, again, that could be that little bite-sized nugget that you're like, "Oh, that was inspiring. I'm going to go do that one thing." So I have lots of options. Lots of ways.
Incredible. And it will all be in the show notes below as well for everything. But thank you so much, Jada. This was an incredible conversation. I appreciate your time and everything you shared or your expertise. I think that everyone's going to benefit from this episode so much.
Well, thank you so very much for having me on. And it was a pleasure and a delight to get to chat with you.
Thank you.